DSW semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores, or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday afternoon, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Lot to get into throughout the course of the show. We'll get to the Sixers coming up momentarily here, who had a big game at the Wells Fargo Center, or it was supposed to be a big game, and what ended up happening, and how they're seeded for the playoffs moving forward, and who there is to blame, because we have somebody used to be in this city that we need to blame for where the Sixers are as they embark on their playoff journey. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but also continuing to talk about the Phillies, and Phillies lose today to the Pirates 9-2 at Citizens Bank Park. Tough loss and a frustrating loss. The offense struggles once again. The sloppy baseball kind of continued. Some bad defense, some bad base running has been a theme early on this year. Today was more the defense. Alec Boehm commits a big error, kind of opens the floodgates in the sixth, leads to a big inning for the Pirates, leads to a five-run inning for the Pirates, and that was really the killer. Before that, JT Realmuto throws the ball into center field on a steal. That allows a run to score, and that's been my biggest takeaway early on this year, is the Phillies giving games away. They're a good team. But to win the division, you're not good enough to give games away early on in the season. Like, they're good enough to be a wild card team, and if they play the way they're playing, the way they played the last couple years, especially early on in the season, they can win around 90 games and be a wild card. We all know this team is talented enough to do that. We all know the offense is going to hit. Rob Thompson said it the other day, is we're going to slug. I believe that. They're going to slug. The offense is going to come around. I'm not worried about that part of it, but what frustrates me is the sloppy play, the sloppy baseball, the giving games away. And they're 8-8 right now. You can look and point to 3-4 games already where if the Phillies had just played clean, not gotten picked off on the bases, not committed costly defensive mistakes, they're probably, 10-6, 11-5, 12-4 right now. So I want your thoughts on that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And want to know whether you're concerned about the offense. I am not at all concerned about the offense. Not worried about Bryce Harper. I think they're going to be fine. The only guy I would be somewhat worried about is Trey Turner. He's gotten going a little bit. Had a good day today. Three hits, a solo homer. So you got to feel good about him moving forward. Would love to get your take on the Phils. But we'll go to the phones in a second. First, I want to ask Francisco Rojas, though, producing the show. Francisco, what's been your biggest takeaway so far through 16? Are you as frustrated as I am with the sloppy baseball, or do you think it's been more the offense not carrying things and getting things done for this?
Yeah, well, you know, I heard LA talking about it a little after the game, that they're not playing with the fire and the energy that they should be, and that we've seen them play with, you know, at points in the last, you know, couple of years, and they're just not playing with that right now. And I really wish they would, because, you know, you had Trey Turner a week and a half ago saying, like, you know, we had a bad start last year and we got it going. Like, I don't like that mindset. Like, I want them to take it's not that they're not taking games seriously right now, but I want them to, and I understand it's a baseball season, it's 162 games, but I want them to play with that fire and energy and have some sort of whatever pace you got to do it at. Like, I want them to have it from the start. Like, I want them to take advantage of this right now. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have the news of Strider. Like, come on. Like, we got to get it going. I want it right now. I don't want to, the whole thing of, you know, wait until we got it going last year, that got us out in the NLCS. I don't want that again. Like, I want to win a World Series. Like, let's go.
Absolutely. And I think there is a subconscious element to this where it's like, okay, we've done it the last couple of years. I don't think they're coming out and saying, okay, but we don't need to play hard in April and May. Like, of course, they want to come out. They want to play well. They want to do well. They want to perform. But I do think that there could be a subconscious thing where, okay, you know, we're going to get it going. We're going to turn it on. And, I mean, they've done it, so it's hard to tell them, okay, well, you really need to dial in. But I do think if they want to win the division, if they want to win the NL East, you got to play better baseball. You got to play cleaner baseball. So what's your take to start the year? 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phones. Go to Jason. What's up, Jason?
Yo, what's up? I'm Jason from South Philly, and I got two things to say about the Phillies game.
What do you got?
How can we lose this game? We're playing terrible right now. I'm not happy about that. And the second part is, what is with the bullpen not giving any of the kids the balls? I mean, all the kids were asking. They're all looking for baseballs, and we didn't get one.
Jason, what are you talking about? You're upset they're not throwing baseballs up into the crowd?
Yeah, they keep looking at the kids, and they're like, oh, well, like, they're like thinking they're throwing it up, and then they won't give the baseballs to the kids.
Well, Jason, not every kid can get a ball. I mean, where are you talking about? You're talking about the guys in the bullpen not throwing the balls up to the people in Ashburn Alley?
That makes the kids days, though.
Jason, don't we have bigger concerns than this right now? The team's 8-8. Come on.
If they want fans to come, they gotta do a better job with the kids. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, Jason. Appreciate the call. But I don't...
He sounded like he was having more of a normal take on the
kids get plenty of balls at the games. We don't have unlimited balls where every inning they're throwing it to every kid up
this
there.
This is what
in
we're
Ashburn
talking
Alley.
About at the start of our show today is balls.
Come on, Jason. Yes. Yes, balls. That's the topic of the show today. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But no, the team, I mean, that's not an issue. I'm sure, you know, I see every inning. Bryce Harper's throwing balls into the crowd. The outfielder's throwing balls into the crowd. Not everybody can get a ball.
You would look like somebody that wouldn't throw
balls
in the crowd.
It's one of my deep regrets in childhood. I never got a ball thrown to me in the crowd. I only did it
in a minor league game.
That doesn't count. That's not a
I'm just
point.
Telling you. I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying, like, it never happened in a major league game, but I got it in a minor league game.
There you go.
Like, I'm contributing, saying, like, I feel your pain.
Yeah. So we both are ballless, you and I. We both have no balls. There you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. So you want to get on the Phillies, you're welcome to. But we do need to talk about the Sixers, because the Sixers win today. They beat the Brooklyn Nets at the Wells Fargo Center. Blow them out. Now, they took a risk in this game. Joel Embiid did not play. D'Anthony Melton also sat out. And the Sixers did what they needed to do on their end to get out of the play-in. Unfortunately, it didn't matter. They end the season with an 8-game winning streak, but it doesn't matter. The Sixers do not get out of the play-in. They are the 7th seed as it currently sits, and they will be playing a play-in game 7 p.m. Wednesday night at home against the Miami Heat. And to start the show, I just have this question for you. How do you feel about this matchup as the Sixers get ready to play the Heat and go for a 1-game play-in on Wednesday night? 215-592-9494. How do you feel about the matchup on Wednesday night? And to explain exactly how this thing works, Sixers win, they're the 7th seed. The way it worked out today, the Knicks are the 2 seed. So the winner of this game on Wednesday night will play the Knicks in a playoff series starting either next Saturday or Sunday. If the Sixers are to lose to the Heat on Wednesday night, they will play the winner of the game between the Hawks and the Bulls for the 8 seed. So the 7-8 play, the winner is the 7 seed, loser plays the winner of this 9-10 game, and the winner of that game would be the 8 seed and would need to play the Boston Celtics. So I can't tell you how important this game is on Wednesday night. The difference between playing the Knicks and playing the Celtics in the first round is probably the difference between you winning a first round series or you going home in like 5 games. That's how dominant the Boston Celtics have been. And when you look at the Knicks, I think the Knicks are beatable. But the big question is, how do you feel about this game on Wednesday night? This is not a series. This is a 1-game play-in. It's going to be in Philly. It will not be in Miami because the Sixers are the 7th seed and Miami is the 8. And I got to say, when I look at this thing, I want to believe. I really do. Joel Embiid has been great. This team has played with a lot of energy, and they played very well since Joel Embiid has come back. As I said, an 8-game winning streak, starting with the game right before Embiid returned against Oklahoma City. But I would be lying to you if I said I felt good about Wednesday night. Do you think the Sixers are going to beat the Heat? I just don't. Like, and when I look at, I ask, are they the better team? Sixers very well might be the better team. Over the course of this season, when Joel Embiid's been healthy, they've been far better than Miami. You look at early in the season, you look at what's happened the last couple weeks since Joel returned. The Sixers beat Miami, a Heat team with Jimmy Butler in the lineup in Miami like 2 weeks ago. This is a game that the Sixers can win. But there is something to that team in Miami that just scares the hell out of me. Like, if this was the Pacers the Sixers were playing, or this was the Magic or the Bulls or the Hawks, I would feel great about their chances. But the fact that they are playing against the Heat right now just scares the hell out of me. That is a Miami team with a ton of playoff experience. Go back to what they did in the bubble a few years ago. Go back to last year. I mean, they make a run from being the 8 seed. Miami was in this exact position last year. They were the 8 seed. They made a run to the NBA Finals. Jimmy Butler, we know all about playoff Jimmy and what that dude does in the playoffs. He transforms into a different player. Jimmy Butler is a good player during the regular season. Jimmy Butler usually transforms into a superstar player.
Hands over me.
There you go. He transforms into a superstar in the postseason. And I just can't shake kind of the PTSD we have from the Sixers over the last few years. I mean, in the playoffs, we have seen this team not come through in the biggest moments, not come through in the biggest games. Can you shake it? Can you shake what the Sixers have done in the postseason for really over the last 5 years? I just can't do it. And I look at this game, I know from an X and O perspective, from a view of you look at these two teams and what they've been comparatively when Joel Embiid has been on the floor, the Sixers should win. But I just can't pick them going into this game. I think it's going to be a tight one. I think Miami ends up winning it. And that would be a disaster scenario because I can't properly describe how important this thing is. And it's such a weird situation when you look at the Eastern Conference right now. Because honestly, I think whoever wins this game is probably the favorite to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You'll play the Knicks in the first round, and then the winner of that series will play the winner of Milwaukee and Indiana. Giannis is hurt right now. Milwaukee got their asses kicked today, and we'll get to that in a little bit as well.
And Randall's out for the year for the Knicks.
Yeah, Randall's out for the Knicks. You're basically playing the 18 Villanova Wildcats. They're very good team. The Knicks are a good team. I think the Sixers wipe the floor with them in the playoffs. Like, I like Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is not a Joel Embiid level player. I'll take Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid against the trio of Brunson, Hart, and Dante DiVincenzo in the playoffs. The Sixers should be able to win that series if they get by Miami. And I think Miami beats the Knicks as well if they're able to beat the Sixers. So it's this weird situation where the winner of a play-in game, I think, is very well positioned to go on a deep run. But man, if you lose and you got to play the Celtics, I guess there's an argument to be made. Well, if you're going to have to play the Celtics, you might as well get them early as opposed to later on. I don't subscribe to that. I would rather take the easiest path possible. Maybe the Celtics get knocked off before the Eastern Conference Finals. You don't have to see them at all. But man, I do not feel good about playing Miami on Wednesday night. I am terrified of the Heat. Maybe I'm a wuss. Maybe I'm putting too much stock into what's happened in past years. But I just don't feel good about this matchup. Any other team, I would love this for the Sixers. They're at home. It's one game. You get it done. You're in a great position. But man, this is the one team that scares the hell out of me. The one team I wouldn't want to play. And honestly, the one player I don't want to see in a winner-take-all situation, Jimmy Butler, for whatever you want to say about him, the dude's a monster in these kind of situations. He's a monster in the postseason. He comes up big in big games, and I'm scared by the Heat. I want to know how you're feeling about this matchup going into Wednesday night. 215-592-9494. What about you, Francisco? How are you feeling about Wednesday night? Are you as big of a wuss? Are you as terrified as I am? Or do you think Joel comes out? Because this could be the Joel Embiid, like, playoff turning point. If he comes out here and beats the Heat, puts up 40, and puts Jimmy in his place on Wednesday night, this could be the start of, like, a huge turnaround for Joel Embiid.
I mean, yeah, but he's had big playoff performances before. I mean, maybe not huge, but, like, he's had statistically good playoff performances before.
But
I mean,
not in a huge game, though. Not in a win-take-all
game. Huge game.
Not in a Game 7 type game. This is essentially a Game 7.
Oh,
Francisco,
gosh,
I think
play-in.
This is a massive game. If they lose...
Because we want to move on, but if, it's like it's the play-in.
If they lose their play in the Celtics, what percentage chance would you give them to win that series?
Say it again. If they
play the Celtics.
In the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, if they play the Celtics in the first round.
The Sixers. What percentage chance
would you get?
Like a 35% chance.
To beat the Celtics? You're going that high?
Yes. Is that a lot?
Yeah, I think it's a lot. The Celtics are crushing everybody.
Yeah, I mean, but I'd still give them like a couple games probably.
What about against the Knicks?
Without Randle, I'd give us a series. I mean, if no Randle, I mean, if Randle was playing, I'd say the Knicks because they're destroyed us head-to-head this year, even with Embiid. I think we beat the Knicks.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference between playing the Knicks and the Celtics. You're playing the Celtics.
I know what you're saying.
You're probably losing that series. You play the Knicks, you're in a position where you could run to the Eastern Conference Finals. You beat the Knicks. I like their chances against the Bucks or the Pacers, whoever you play in the second round. Yeah. This is a huge game on Wednesday
night. That's cute. I want a title, man. Like, I don't even care about any of all that other stuff. Like, I want a title. It doesn't matter to me if we want to get the Eastern Conference Finals. It doesn't matter.
Well, this is the thing, Francisco. You're probably not getting that title if you lose this playing game. If you have to play Boston in the first round, you're probably not winning a championship. You win this game, your road is a hell of a lot easier. You wouldn't have to see Boston for a minimum of, 3 weeks until the conference finals? So this is a huge game, as far as I see it, at least.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but as far as the game goes, like, I'm torn, man, because Miami's just different. Like you mentioned, 8 seed, like, you don't know what you're going to get from them. Like, you really don't. I'm very torn, but I think I like our chances at home. I think I like our chances at home right now.
There you go. So as Francisco likes Sixers chances, I'm afraid of the Heat. Maybe I'm putting too much stock into those past years, but man, this is a team that's been in a lot of big games. Jimmy Butler's played big in a lot of big games. And until we see the Sixers do it in a big moment like this, until we see Joel Embiid do it in a big moment like this, I just am skeptical. And hey, I do think Joel is different this year. I mean, he's playing by far the best basketball he's ever played. He is a major force right now. But that Miami matchup, it's the one team that I did not want to see in this series or in this play-in situation. So that does scare me. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to the phones. And our buddy Gus. What's up, Gus?
It's funny that you just had that conversation because I can tell you a way in which I'll guarantee you the Sixers beat Miami because I want them to lose to Miami. So if I want them to lose to Miami, you can be extremely confident that they'll beat Miami.
I like this reverse psychology there, Gus. Why do you want Boston in the first round?
I want to play Boston now because the Sixers are hot and the Celtics are cold, and you're going to face them eventually. If the Sixers lose to the Celtics, nobody's going to make a big deal about it, okay? If they lose to the Knicks, oh, my God, the sky's falling again. You got to change, you got to replace Nurse. You got to get rid of Embiid. You got to throw that whole rigmarole. The Celtics are a team that is a very, very fine-tuned machine. And if you can get them when they're slightly asleep, they're slightly rusty, they don't want to play the Sixers in the first round. They didn't win all these games to get to the Sixers, who right now are the second-best team in the conference. They don't want that.
Well,
so psychologically,
Gus,
you have an advantage.
Yeah, Gus, I think Boston, they got to be looking at this both ways and think, how do we end up in this situation? I mean, you get the
exactly.
one seed, and you're either going to have to take on the Sixers, or and again, maybe the Hawks or the Bulls. I don't think so. I don't think the Sixers or Heat would lose to either of those teams. But
well,
man,
you know,
if
the Heat might.
But this, Gus, this is how weird it is. Because, like you said, like I look at the Eastern Conference right now. I think, however you want to put it, the three best teams in the East are Boston, the Sixers, and Miami. Like, they're the three scariest teams.
I think the Knicks might be the third best team. I'm not sure. But the thing about the Knicks is Thibodeau just runs these guys into the ground. You know, DiVincenzo played over 48 minutes today.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a guy who hasn't learned from his mistakes. He does this every year with his teams.
Anyway, either way, what I'm trying to say is I'm going to take pressure off myself because usually if I want something, it never happens. So I think they do beat Miami. But the Celtics really looked bad that last week. Now, I know, so what? They had it all wrapped up. But they're just a team that always has to be sharp because they can go from the penthouse to the outhouse when their shooting fails them. And I believe there's only so many three-point shots in this season, and then you run out of gas because your legs go. So I'm not as in awe and buying a lot of dogs because I'm terrified of the Celtics.
Yeah, I hear you, Gus, and I appreciate the call. I just don't view it that way. Like this is always my line of thinking in terms of postseason matchups. I'd rather avoid the best teams for as long as I possibly can because maybe you won't have to see them. Like, odds are you will. Like, odds are, even if you get the 7th seed, you beat the Knicks, say you beat either Milwaukee or Indiana in the second round, you're probably going to play Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I don't know. I mean, maybe Miami takes Boston out in the first round. Then it would be, I mean, Cleveland or Orlando, the winner of that would play the winner of Boston-Miami. But I would rather just avoid Boston if I can. Like, I'd rather avoid them for as long as possible. I don't subscribe to the theory of, oh, yeah, let's just get the 8 seed and play them now. Would I give the Sixers a shot? Sure, I'd give them a shot. I think the Sixers have a shot against anybody right now, the way Joel Embiid's playing. But, man, I'd really like that 7 seed. I just think it sets up beautifully for them when you look at a potential path of the Knicks and then the Bucks, who I think the Sixers match up very well with, or Indiana, who I think the Sixers match up well with as well and would beat. I think this 7 seed would be huge, but the one team that I didn't want to play, the one team I did not want to play in a play-in situation was Miami. They just scare the hell out of me with their experience and just the big game factor. Like, those guys have been in so many huge winner-take-all type situations. You look at them last year. I mean, this is a Miami team that they had a 3-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. They blew that lead. They ended up having to go back to Boston to Game 7, and they won a Game 7 in Boston with all the momentum going against them. with Boston having the momentum on the road. Now, I know Tatum turned his ankle early on in that game. That may have played a factor, but you look at the difference. The Sixers couldn't rebound in that spot last year. They went back to Boston in Game 7, and they rolled over. The Heat, they had a 3-0 series lead, gave up that 3-0 series lead, lost Game 6 in devastating fashion on their home floor in Miami. They went to Boston, and they won Game 7. Until I see the Sixers get a win like that, I just can't feel confident about them in this matchup going up against a team like Miami. And that's what scares me. But, man, I disagree with Francisco here. I think I think this is a huge game, and I think the winner of this game is in a great position. I think this is a massive, massive one for the Sixers Wednesday night. Getting the 7 seed as opposed to the 8, I think, is probably the difference between you going home in the first round and you going to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe beyond. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Want your thoughts on the Sixers, your feelings about the matchup with Miami on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is the time set for that game. So we'll get into that as well. Also, you want to get on the Phils. They lose 9-2 today. Your biggest concerns early on in the year, mine, is not the offense. It is the sloppy baseball, lack of focus in the field, defense, base running. Those have been the Phillies' biggest issues. So we'll get to all that when we get back. Jay Lou, see you guys there. We'll get to you as well coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 7, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday afternoon slash evening, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. How you doing in? A few things talking about today. Phils lose 9-2 to the Pirates. They split the series. Colorado Rockies coming to town for three games beginning on Monday. But the big story, the Sixers season has finished, and they have finished in the 7th seed, which means despite an 8-game winning streak at the end of the year, despite them, man, doing everything they could to get out of that play-in situation, they are going to be in that play-in game. It's going to be Wednesday night. It's going to be at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be against Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. And I'm petrified. I'm not going to lie. I am petrified of this game, and I want this team to go on a run so bad. This Joel Embiid that we are seeing right now, this is, I mean, the best version of him that we have seen in his career. And he's gotten better every year, and it's been incredible. And obviously the scare on Friday night with the knee, doesn't play today. Apparently that was precautionary. The Sixers, I guess, rolled the dice a little bit, hoping they could win this game, because that would have been you talk about a bad look if the Sixers did get the help they needed, which they didn't anyway. So we don't really need to worry about it now. But could you imagine if either the Magic or the Pacers lost, and the Sixers couldn't beat the Nets on Sunday because Joel Embiid sat? Then we'd have a whole different issue that we'd be talking about. But they made a calculation, thought they could win this game without Joel. They were able to, but they didn't get the help they needed. The Magic beat the Bucks. The Pacers beat the Hawks. So that means Wednesday night, it's Sixers and Heat at the Wells Fargo Center. And man, I would feel good about this matchup if they were playing pretty much anybody in the conference other than Boston. Like, if you're playing the Knicks in a one-game play-in, you're playing, I mean, Cleveland, whoever. Doesn't matter. I feel really good about the situation. Miami scares the hell out of me because I don't think seeding matters in the NBA that much anymore. It's all about matchups. It's all about getting the right path to the NBA Finals. You look at the Heat last year. Heat were the 8 seed, but they got a great path. They drew Milwaukee in the first round, Knicks in the second round. They didn't have to see Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Heat were able to go to the Finals. I think we could have a similar situation this year. If we're talking, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're looking at this thing 6 weeks from now, and we're saying the winner of this Sixers Heat game ended up going to the NBA Finals. I think that's a legitimate possibility. But man, I would love to avoid Boston in the first round. I really don't want to see them early. I'd rather see them late. Maybe they get picked off. But I don't feel good about this matchup with Miami. That's a team that's been through a lot of wars. They have a ton of experience. And this game scares the hell out of me. Would love to get... Yeah, you can cut that, Francisco. That's fine. But would love to get your thoughts about the matchup with the Heat on Wednesday night. Are you scared or do you have confidence? 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Jay in Roxborough. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. What's going on, Jay? How you feeling?
You know what? This is going to be over. This is going to be over early, and it's going to be an easy game against the Heat. You got to keep in mind, that Heat team last year, they had Strus and Vincent. Both of those guys are gone, okay?
Yeah, I mean, Jay, come on. Those guys stink. Strus and Vincent.
Are you kidding me?
They're role players, Jay. They're role players. They still have Jimmy. They still have Bam.
Okay, and what else?
They have Hero's playing right now, right?
I don't think you're giving a bench. I don't really think you value people's benches in the playoffs as much as you should, man. That if you go back and look at that game, you know, that those boys, Strus and Vincent, they were key. They were probably more important than the other three starters on the Heat last year. They don't have these guys. We got Kyle Lowry, one of their tough guys that they had last year. We got him now on our team. They don't have attitude. You see, they're the eighth seed, you know. So, and we're
but Jay, this is the thing, Jay. They were MVP. They were the eighth seed last year, and they made a run to the finals.
But that's a different. That team is totally different. I think you unless you think Jimmy Butler is going to score 110 points each game. I mean, for this game coming up, I would give it to you, but Jimmy Butler's not scoring 110. They don't have a strong team. You got to look at Maxey right now. Maxey in a one-game series at home, he's equivalent to, like, you got to guard Tyreek Hill all day when you're playing football. You don't want to see Maxey chasing him around like that. You got Oubre. You know, right now, the way he's playing right now, one game, fast pace, up and down. This is not a series, man. Just think about it. This is just one game, and you're done. They don't want to see these guys. And, oh, by the way, Joel Embiid. You know, so, but Maxey is going to be more important in this game. So don't be afraid. This is going to be an easy game. We may win by 20.
Well, I hear you, Jay, but this is the thing. I'd actually feel better if it was a series, because I think the Sixers are overall the better team. Like, I think, and if it's a series, I'd feel good about the matchup. But one game just scares me because we've seen Jimmy in these kind of situations, Jay. And I know, like, I guess I have a higher opinion of him than you do. But how many times have we seen Jimmy Butler in these kind of games kind of transform into a different player?
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, I understand. I love Jimmy. I wish he was still here, you know. But at the same time, you know, as much as I, you know, got respect for Jimmy, I'm looking at that team that they have. That team that they have is no match for this 76ers team. You will see how outmatched they are on Wednesday. It's not even going to be close. You know, I think you're putting too much into Jimmy, you know, and not looking at that whole team.
Yeah, I hear you, Jay, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And maybe I am putting too much into that, but it's not just Jimmy Butler. I do think there's something to a team that's been through the wars. Now, Jay's point about Kyle Lowry being on the Sixers instead of the Heat, I do think is a big deal. And having that kind of player is a massive positive for the Sixers, because I think when you look at some previous incarnations of the Sixers and the Sixers last year, you just had guys who were going to kind of fold in the big moments, namely being James Harden. And I think with a player like Joel, and I think with Joel Embiid, in some ways, at times, he adopts the mentality of some other players on his team. Now, maybe it'll be different this year, where Joel can kind of take control, and that's what I'd love to see on Wednesday night. But when you have a guy like Kyle Lowry, I think that is helpful. I think it was helpful at times last year in the playoffs to have a guy like PJ Tucker. Ultimately, when you have James Harden kind of goes away and everybody else kind of follows suit. And I don't think this is an unwinnable game. This is honestly a game the Sixers should win. I saw they're 4-point favorites right now, so it's a game they should win. And you look at the last two matchups, Sixers have won. Sixers beat them in Miami a couple weeks ago with Joel, with Jimmy Butler playing. Beat Miami here a few weeks ago. I was at that game when they beat the Heat with no Joel, no Jimmy Butler that night either. So this is not a game they can't win. And I want to know, though, am I putting too much stock into the past? Because that's what I'm looking at more than anything, and why I'm so scared of this matchup, is because I can't shake the Sixers' playoff history. Like, I can't shake what we have seen over the course of years, and this team not coming up big in big spots. And when you look at the opponent, that's a team that always comes up big in big spots. Like, the Heat always win these kind of games, and it feels like the Sixers never win these kind of games. That's why it's really tough for me to feel confident going into this matchup. Is it a game they can win? Yes. Is it a game they should win? Probably. But is it a game they will win? Based on the history, I can't say that I'm confident. Let's go to Lou in Virginia. Let's talk about the Phils. What's up, Lou?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call again, Tom. I'm up here visiting my dad. Drove up to the game today. Every time I come, I'm disappointed. But still, I'm a loyal fan. I was laughing, though. Last time we called, you know how I talk about the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And the very next game, they completely fell apart. Running, base running, errors. I mean, just terrible. And I know you listen to the commentators up there. So Larry Anderson, lately, he's been really frustrated. And I'm gratified to hear he's talking about, you know, do they even practice these things? Like Marte wasn't even looking at a runner the other night. He's going, do they practice pickoffs? Do they practice looking the runners back? You know, as a pitcher, he's pretty disgusted. And, I mean, it's just a broken record. Fundamentals. I mean, you come through all the minor leagues, you're a major league player. I don't understand why they can't work on these fundamentals.
Yeah, Lou, I'm sure they're working on these things, but for whatever reason, at least early on in the year here, it's not translating over. And, you know, there have been too many of these instances early on in the year where, again, like I've said this a few times, but I can accept if you're not hitting. Like, I don't worry about Bryce Harper not hitting, but it feels like 3-4 games this year, they've just given away by playing sloppy baseball.
Totally agree. Completely agree. I mean, you know, Wheeler walks a guy, that's fine. He gets squeezed, that's fine. I get it. But a routine ground ball by Boehm, come on. I mean, you know, you got a guy on first, runs are sparse. Try to move the runner over to second. And then he scores on the triple by Marsh. I mean, they don't do the little things. And when you're scrambling, the little things are big.
Yeah, so, definitely, yeah. Lou. Absolutely. Yeah. And appreciate the call, man. And yeah, I mean, those quote-unquote little things are, you know, they can turn into big things. And that's what happened in this game on Sunday, where if you're just joining us, to kind of set the stage for you, Phils have a 2-1 lead in the top of the sixth inning. And at that point, Zach Wheeler's cruising. I mean, he just struck out the top of the struck out the side in the top of the fifth. He's rolling. And he gets Ke'Bryan Hayes the ground to Alec Boehm to start the inning, but you commit an error, and things kind of spiral on you a little bit. That's followed up with a walk. McCutchen has a good at-bat, gets a little bloop single, and then a grand slam. And as far as Wheeler at the grand slam, that is not going to happen too often. Like, typically, even when you make mistakes behind Zach Wheeler, a lot of the time you'll be able to get away with them, but they weren't today. And as far as the decision to stick with Wheeler there, this was something that had been asked to Rob Thompson after the game, and Rob had a pretty definitive answer as far as why he stuck with Wheeler against Jack Suwinski with the bases loaded. At that point, Wheeler's in the high 90s from a pitch count perspective. Suwinski, a left-handed hitter. Why do you not go to the bullpen there? I have no problem with leaving Zach Wheeler in at that point. Like, he's your, yeah, and that's what Rob Thompson said as well. He said, he's our horse. He's our guy. We're going to trust Zach Wheeler in those spots pretty much every time. And I think that's the right approach. No problem with that decision whatsoever. You just can't make those kind of mistakes in the field on the bases. And hey, it's something we've seen a lot this year early in the season from this team. Let's go to Greg in Florida. What's up, Greg?
Tommy.
How you doing, man?
Listen, I want you to calm down. I'm from Philadelphia. I got my new city cap today, by the way, with the blue Liberty Bell. The hat is fantastic.
City Connect hat there, Greg?
Yeah, I love the hat. The jersey I didn't buy. I think the jersey's awful. I bought the T-shirt. The T-shirt's going back. But the hat is great.
So you're gonna return the T-shirt?
Yeah, I'm returning the T-shirt's going back. Okay. I bought it. The kink got shipped down. But the hat is a killer hat. It's a killer hat.
Nice.
Listen, so in my, you know, I've lived down here 25 years. I live in Long Beach Island. I go back and forth. I'm a diehard Flyers fan, and all the guys in the gym, they know I'm from Philly, so we talk about sports. And none of these guys this year, and I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan. They're like, this is not that team we got to fear this year, as long as Embiid shows up. I mean, you can if you're down here, that's all they got to talk about. The Marlins are horrible. Nobody really pays attention to the Panthers. It's heat. Like up there, it's Eagles, Eagles, Eagles. Here, it's heat, heat, heat. Nobody's even talking about the Dolphins. And nobody has any expectations for this game.
That just surprises me, Greg. And I know that it's been a rough year for the Heat down there. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, dealt with a lot of injuries. But it surprises me that that would be the case, considering what they've done as a low seed, especially last year. I mean, they were in the same situation last year. They ended up going to the finals.
They had a different vibe last year. I think Jimmy's getting too weird. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't trade him. I got a friend of mine. He works at Joe Stonecrab. He's been there 30 years, and he knows everybody. I mean, and some of the stuff he tells me. I mean, I think they're going to move on from him after this year. I really do. I just think it's probably driving. What's the coach's name? Palestra. I can never pronounce
Spolstra.
His name. Spolstra. I just look at him and I just think they're going to, like, you know, move on.
Yeah, they've always had kind of a weird relationship, Greg, with Jimmy, and it's always like they're kind of managed them. But hey, it's worked out really well for them. I mean, they've gone to a couple finals.
I love Jimmy. The last Sixers game I went to is when he hit that one at the end of the game to beat the Celtics. I took my nephew. I think that was like, it was before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then they traded Jimmy. And then I was so ticked off at the Sixers. And the Sixers are not my favorite team. They're my fourth favorite. You know, I'm Flyers, Eagles, Steelers, Phillies, Sixers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do pay attention because I'm down here. And you know, I love Jimmy, but I think the Sixers are going to blow them out.
Well, hey Greg, I hope you're right, man, and appreciate the call, because if they do, I'm telling you, if the Sixers win this game, I think they're going to go to the conference finals. Like, I really do. And I know that's looking pretty far ahead. The Knicks have nobody to deal with Embiid. Like, they have absolutely nobody to guard Embiid. What, you're going to play Isaiah Hartenstein on Joel Embiid for seven games? That's not going to work out very well for you. I know Thibodeau is a good coach. Sixers have a good coach, too. I think they'll make the adjustments, and I like that matchup a lot. I think the Sixers beat the Knicks relatively easily. And then if you get past them, you're playing the winner of the Bucks and the Pacers. And I feel good about those matchups as well. So, yeah, I think the Sixers have a real path here if they can win this game. But this game really scares me. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Greg was just calling from Florida. I did want to update the audience real quick. We'll get back to the phones in a second. But I did want to update the audience on something I was talking about last Sunday. Because I was on last Sunday night, and I was talking about how anxious I was and how nervous I was because I spent a couple days this week down in Florida, a little family vacay with my wife and my two kids. And I was extremely stressed out because this is the first time that we've taken the kids on a plane and the flying process. Now, my son is three. My daughter is one. The flight, Francisco, did not go great. Now, we got on the plane last Monday, had to sit on the runway for 2 hours. My daughter did not enjoy that at all. She kind of freaked out.
How old is your daughter again?
She's one.
Ooh, yeah.
16 months.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she did not like that. But once we got down there, it was a very nice week. We were staying just outside Clearwater. I know a little weird that we go down there now that spring training's not happening. But
yeah, why'd you go there?
We wanted to go to that area. I mean, I don't know why we didn't go a month earlier. But
did you go to like Disneyland or anything?
No, we just went to the beach, did dolphin cruise, aquarium, all that stuff down there.
Dolphin cruise?
Yeah, we did.
How does that work?
They take you on a little cruise out in like the Clearwater Bay there.
Okay.
And there are just dolphins all over the place.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, my son loved it. So
that's sick.
It was a great trip. It was a nice week. But you know, you come back from vacation, you always feel a little out of the loop. Like I asked you before the show, I'm like, what did I miss this week? Like I was on social media, but I wasn't like listening as much as I normally would.
Right.
So just feel out of the loop when you're down there.
Right. Well, it's good to get unplugged for a second. I bet you used that word before the show.
Yeah, it was
unplugged.
Nice. Do I seem more relaxed to you today?
Yeah, you got a tan, by the way.
Well, I was in Florida.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I just noticed now. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look darker.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a tan.
Well, it's good, man.
Yeah, as much as I can get. Didn't get burned, so that's good.
That's always good. You should go to the tanning booth or something just to keep that going.
Tanning salon? You think I want to go to... Have you ever tanned before?
No.
Okay.
I'm tan already.
You are a tan guy.
Tanner. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would never...
Consider it.
No, I'm not considering it.
It's a good look, man.
No, I'm not going to a tanning booth.
I'm not saying you need to, like, go so much that you turn orange. Not like Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay.
But...
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you should. It's an underrated Christmas movie.
Okay.
But you should go, you know, like go, like, once a month or something.
All right. No, I will not. I will not be doing that. I will not be doing that.
Do it for the bit. Do it for radio.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a remote from the tanning booth. Okay, you can be passing me the mic, and I'll be talking while I'm in the booth or whatever it is. They put you in like a tube, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, maybe let's...
Consider it.
We'll talk to the people around and see if we can work that out.
Okay.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our buddy Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you feeling about this week, Dom? This is... I know you're a huge Sixers fan.
Huge. Well, Tom, anything can happen. I don't like the play-in game because anything, you know how basketball is, Tom. Sometimes the shot don't go. In a series, the better team, I believe, is going to win 80% of the time. In a one-game playoff, anything can happen. And you got Spoelstra. You know, should the Sixers win? Absolutely. They're the better team. But in a one-game playoff, anything can happen. So I'll be glad when we get on the other side of that. I think the Sixers should win, but it's one game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, Dom. And I'll tell you what does make me feel better about it, though, because you mentioned Spoelstra on the other side, and I think when these two teams played in the playoffs a couple years ago, that coaching matchup was definitely a disadvantage for the Sixers. With Nick Nurse, I feel a lot better about him making the adjustments in-game to kind of put the Sixers in a better position.
I absolutely agree with you. You made me feel a little bit of it because... Man, Tommy, after the Sixers game, I flicked on because I do not want the Knicks. I wanted Milwaukee big time.
Yeah.
Because Doc and Milwaukee's just not playing well. Jalen Brunson is playing out of his mind. The Sixers, again, are the better team. But of all the other teams other than Boston, and I agree with you what you said about you want to see Boston at the end, of all the other teams in the Eastern Conference, the Knicks is probably the team that I wanted to see the least.
Yeah, and part of it with the Knicks, Dom, is having those Nova guys, like, they just know how to play smart. You know, they play really smart basketball. The thing that I feel good about in that matchup, though, is just I don't know how they would devise a plan to stop Embiid. I just think Embiid would go crazy on that team.
Yep. Nova guys are tough guys, aren't they? DiVincenzo, Tommy, played 50 minutes tonight. 50 minutes.
That's crazy. And what's weird, Dom, is like if I'm the Knicks, I kind of would have positioned myself to get the 3 seed and play Indiana.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, it's a definite. Nobody wants the Sixers. No, they're no. You know, if they would have fell to the 8 seed, how would Boston be feeling? Like, you know, they played off all year, played to get the best record in the Eastern Conference, and they drew the Sixers in the first round.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
so,
Dom. I mean,
nobody wants to play the Sixers.
Dom, Boston's got to be sitting there right now and think we got the 1 seed, and we're going to end up playing either the Sixers or Miami in the first round. Like, that's not a great prize for getting the 1 seed.
No, it's not a great prize, and I agree with you. I think the Sixers got a real good chance of getting to that Eastern Conference, and you know, Boston's really really poor. Like a couple of my friends, Tommy, have been saying, well, the Sixers had them 3-2 last year. Throw that out the window. Porzingis, I had no idea, Tom. What a game changer Porzingis is. He is a great defensive player. Not good, great. He changes their defensive culture tremendously. The Celtics last year are nowhere as good as the Celtics this year.
Yeah, no,
they're a real challenge this year.
Yeah, Dom, he's added a lot to that team, man, and it'll be interesting to see. But Dom, thanks for checking in, man. I appreciate it, and always great talking basketball with you.
Yep, you too.
All right, take it easy, Tasty Cake Dom. Tasty Cake Dom, man. I go back with Tasty Cake Dom years. We used to do a broadcast from ShopRite in Williamstown, and that was on Dom's route, and he was a frequent caller to the station, so he'd come over, and I'd known him from other remotes as well. We just like talk basketball during the show.
Hey, he's Tasty Cake Dom because he used to drive a Tasty Cake truck, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And
he knows
a lot about basketball. Huge basketball guy.
Sounds like a good guy, too.
He is. Great guy. So always great hearing from Dom. And, you know, this matchup on Wednesday night is going to be interesting. It's going to be a real critical moment for the Sixers. I think this determines what ends up happening with their season here. They lose this game, you play Boston, you're going to be significant underdogs. Like, I would give the Sixers, and this is less of a statement on the Sixers, more of a statement on what I think of Boston. I give the Sixers less than a 20% chance to beat Boston the first round. If the Sixers are playing the Knicks, I think the Sixers win that series at, what, like a 65% clip? Like, I feel that good about that matchup as opposed to Boston. I think the route for you to a conference finals appearance is really, really good if you can find a way to get that 7 seed. But it all comes down to Wednesday night. The good news is it is on the Sixers' home floor. They will have that game in their building. Joel Embiid presumably will play. And now when you look at this decision to sit Embiid today, looks like a good one. Now you're going to get Joel Embiid on 5 days rest from Friday night. You'd imagine at as close to full strength as possible. And this is a massive game in Joel Embiid's career. We can throw out the label of, you know, is this the biggest game of Joel Embiid's career? I don't think you can say that considering Game 7 last year in Boston. But this is huge, and I think this could be the start of a really deep run if the Sixers can get it done. 215-592-9494. Mike JC, guys, we'll get to you when we get back. Also, when we get back, I need to bury somebody today who is part of the reason why the Sixers are in the position they're in. And he has nothing to do with the organization anymore, but he did, and I can't stand him. So we'll get to that coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday afternoon, taking till 7 o'clock. Talking a lot about the Sixers. Sixers playing Wednesday night at the Wells Fargo Center against the Heat. Now, I believe this game would have been Tuesday, but the Flyers are finishing up their season Tuesday, so this game gets bumped to Wednesday. And the Flyers, not dead yet. They still have a little bit of hope for the playoffs. I think they need the Red Wings to lose their final two, I believe, in the Flyers to win their final game. I'm pretty sure Out breaks down, but they're clinging to hope. Hopefully, if we can get the Flyers in and have two playoff runs at the Wells Fargo Center, but we'll at least get a game. We'll at least get a playoff game for the Sixers on Wednesday night. And if they win that one, I think they're in great shape. So you're feeling going into Wednesday night, familiar opponent, and I think a really scary opponent in Miami. Would love to get your takes. But, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute here, but what's frustrating about this situation is that the Sixers did all they could to get out of the play. They win eight straight games at the end of the year, and it didn't matter. And you know why it didn't matter? Because that loser, Doc Rivers, couldn't go down to Orlando and win a game today. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. That Orlando team is just done. Like, you look at, we saw that game on Friday night. They're a nice story, a young team that played well early in the year, but they're fading. Like, they're coming back to reality here. I mean, them and Cleveland in the first round is just it sucks that one of those teams is going to advance. And like, the Heat and Sixers are one of them's going to play the Celtics, and you know, the other one's going to play the Knicks. Those might be the four best teams of the East right now, and they're going up against each other in the first round. But the Bucks go down to Orlando and they get smashed today. And I can't stand Doc Rivers. And can't win that game. An important game for the Bucks. Bucks could have the two seed. That's another part of this, though, is that coward Doc Rivers. Because I think they're ducking the Sixers. I think that was a big part of it. I don't think they wanted to play the Sixers, Francisco. I think they wanted the three seed because Doc's terrified of coming back here and getting his ass cooked by Joel Embiid.
I wouldn't say that.
You would?
That he's ducking? He's ducking us?
Yes, I think him and Giannis and Lillard. Yeah, they're all cowards.
I don't think they are. I mean, like I agree with you. Like, Doc's annoying. I didn't love him towards the end, but like, not ducking us.
Well, no, he's not annoying. Let's call it what it is. Doc's a slime ball, all right? Like the Doc Rivers, what he did to get that job in Milwaukee was a disgrace. Now, to take you through the timeline, he's hired as a consultant, and what, 3 weeks later, they fire the head coach and make Doc Rivers the head coach. Yeah. Something that Doc was completely unaware of. Here was Doc at that point when they fire Adrian Griffin and make him the head coach.
Personally, I'll be honest, I told our owners when they called, I said, I think I don't understand why you're doing this, you know? And they said, you know, one of the things they said was, well, it doesn't matter. We've done it now. And we want you. And so that was a tough one. That's where you had the hesitation.
Like, how can he say that with a straight face? They hired you as a consultant, and you act like you weren't, you know, lobbying for that job from the minute they hired you? Yeah, do you believe that, Francisco? The Bucks ownership went to Doc and said, hey, we want to fire our head coach and make you the head coach. And he really said, how could you do this?
Yeah,
why are you doing
fraudulent.
This?
Yeah, it's very fraudulent.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
Like, he's fraudulent. A bald-faced liar. And then, you know, you look at this mistake that the Bucks have made. He gets the job, snakes the job away. He's been terrible. Like, they've had a below 500 record since he took over the team. An awful mistake. And then the Sixers need him to win one game. Can't do it. Now the Sixers need to beat the Heat. And this is a take that I was thinking about before the show. But I've gotten to the point where I dislike Doc Rivers more than I dislike Ben Simmons. And I never thought I could get there. But I really do just dislike Doc so much. And it was so frustrating because you knew they were going to lose that game today. You knew that there was no way he was going to come through in that spot and help the Sixers. And then, you know, you had the whole stuff with Doc last week. Here was Doc, as his team is playing poorly, and it's never his fault, mind you. Here was Doc giving the reason why he thinks the Bucks don't play with the kind of professionalism they should.
You know, it's funny. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes. I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary
professionalism, seriousness on the road. And that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
Do you feel like that just gets cleaned up in the playoffs? Like, have you seen that in the past? That
yeah, I'm not concerned. Playoffs, just... Yeah. The playoffs are a new beast, but I'm looking at it for the long run, too. I mean, it's not just for now. Like, we got to be a better road team.
So the travel staff's fault that the Bucks aren't playing with the right professionalism, not Doc Rivers. I can't stand him. And it upsets me now that the Sixers won't get the chance to play him in the first round. Because if you win that game and you're the 7th seed and the Bucks are the 2, oh, that would have been incredible to see that series in the first round. Won't get it now. And just, you know, very, very disappointing. And I think the Bucks were ducking the Sixers. I think Doc's terrified. I think Giannis is terrified. They have the Sixers are a bad matchup for them. I truly believe that. And very upsetting to me that the Sixers won't get a chance to play the Bucks in the first round. If they do win, it'll be the Knicks. If they lose, they'll have to face the winner of this Bulls-Hawks game. And then, presumably, if they win that one, play the Boston Celtics. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Mike in Bridgeport. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, Tom? Great show.
Thanks, man. What's happening?
Hey, I can't wait for Wednesday night. I really can't. It's a cliche, I know, but I do believe that if we want to truly move past all the past, you know, meltdowns, and you have to beat and go through the best, and that's exactly what our path is going to be this year. You know, to beat Miami and secure that 7th spot, and then hopefully take care of business against the Knicks. And as you mentioned, they're one of the top 4 teams in the East, hands down. Go through them, and then hopefully get the Celtics. You know, there are no easy paths. I mean, I remember going back to 2021, right, where everyone thought, oh, things are shaping up so well. We've got the Hawks in round 2, and look what happened. You know?
Like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's
a serious path, right?
That's true, Mike. And that was the year when everything was you know, seemingly lining up perfectly for the Sixers, and then you had kind of the Ben Simmons meltdown in the Hawks series. But yeah, man, I mean, it seems like that's going to be the kind of run it's going to need to be. But do you agree that it's of critical importance they win on Wednesday? Because I'd much rather not see Boston in the first round, and maybe then can avoid them. If you see Boston in the first round, it would just be so disappointing to have Embiid come all the way back just to end up playing Boston now.
Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, I would even put it below your number. I think if they matched up with Boston in round 1, I would give them less than 10% of a chance to win. It's just they are a really, really good team. I mean, 64 wins. And I'm probably somewhere in between some of your previous callers, but they seem very confident, kind of overconfident going into Wednesday. And it sounds like you're a little nervous. I'm somewhere in between. I mean, I don't want to mess with Jimmy Butler, but that's what we've got to do to get there. So bring it on. I mean, they're not the same team they were when they went to the NBA Finals last year. So I'm holding out hope there. And we've got some tough dudes this time around. Kelly Oubre, Lowry. So I'm feeling better.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Mike, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
For checking in. And, you know, and again, I do think, like, not to boil it down to one thing or one player, even though in the NBA, in many instances, it does come down to that. It comes down to the stars. So much of this is on Joel on Wednesday night. And it's like, here we are again. Like, another huge, huge opportunity for Joel Embiid. And you talk about the supporting cast, and I get it. Like, they're going to need other guys to step up. We're going to see now if Tyrese Maxey is capable of being legit number 2 on a championship contender. Yes, they're going to need guys like Oubre to step up and make shots. You know, they're going to need Kyle Lowry to make shots. I don't even want to say his name. But yes, they are going to need Tobias Harris to contribute something. I don't know what.
But that took a lot of you.
Yeah, I don't even.
I'm proud of you.
I'm just the only good thing about this season maybe being over soon is we won't have to see him anymore. But you know,
let's see that contract.
Or him. I'm tired of Tobias.
Look, he's not that bad of a basketball.
He is
player.
Not a good basketball player.
He's a solid scorer.
He is a very average basketball player. You can find it.
He's an inconsistent player who could be very good.
And they have
times.
A guy right now playing on a minimum contract in Kelly Oubre, who's indisputably better than he is.
I don't think he's indisputably better.
Who would you rather have right now, Kelly Oubre or Tobias Harris?
That's a tough question.
It's not
a tough question.
It's not a tough question.
Put me on the spot there.
You know the answer to that. It's Kelly Oubre.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It depends on the day.
You would rather have to just say you'd rather have Tobias then. You got to pick one.
If I had to find Tobias, I'll stick to right here. All right, that's a bad opinion.
But so much of it is going to come down to Joel. And man, I really believe that despite all this, it's going to come down to on Wednesday night who plays better, Jimmy or Joel. I really feel like that's the way this thing's going to go, is who's going to step up in those big moments, who's going to make the big plays, who's going to make the big shots. And, man, what an unbelievable opportunity for Joel against that team, against that opponent, to get it done. It's going to be incredible to watch. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly with you for one more segment here. Sean Bell, Ashlyn Sullivan coming up at 7 o'clock. A few things to touch on when we get back. Right here, I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you for one more segment here, taking you up until 7 o'clock. Just catching the end of the Masters here. It's over. Scottie Scheffler's going to win. This guy's just ridiculous. And over the last couple days, watching the Masters, you want to have a little bit of a rooting interest. I decided to put little bets down on Morikawa and Max Homa and a bunch of different guys. I guess betting the field against Scottie Scheffler doesn't really work out very well. And it's ridiculous. You look at the odds. The odds aren't that one guy is gonna just dominate everybody. But that's what Scottie Scheffler's doing. He's got a 4-shot lead right now going in the 18th hole. Betting against Scottie Scheffler, probably not a good idea the last couple days.
My Masters bet's not nothing to add.
No, I didn't expect you to add anything. Yeah. I know you're not a golf guy.
My best friend just got recently into golf, so maybe one day I will.
Okay. Well, Scottie Scheffler's a beast. That's really all you need to know right now. Probably the best player since Tiger Woods, I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Rory?
Rory's overrated.
Yeah, this is a very, not even casual question.
Nah, Rory is overrated because, I don't know for what reason. And I don't really find him very likable either, Rory McIlroy. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. No John Rahm, no... who
yeah, yeah Rahm's good. I mean, all these guys are good. They're just nowhere near as good as Scheffler.
How many majors has Scheffler won?
I don't know how many he's won, but it feels like he's the favorite to win every one. There's not been a guy since Tiger that I feel like going into every major, he's the overwhelming favorite going into every one.
Ah, okay.
Scheffler
I got you.
Is. So, dominant right now. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And we'll get back to the phones in a second. But, of course, we're talking Sixers in the last segment, and Tobias Harris's name gets brought up. Even though I try to ignore him at this point because I can't just he infuriates me to no end. You said he reached a milestone today, Francisco. Is that right?
Yep, he did.
What did he do?
So he passed the Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood on the NBA all-time scoring list at 165.
And that's a thing.
It is, and he has a congratulatory message here too.
Spencer Haywood released a congratulatory message to Tobias for reaching 165th on the all-time.
And it was
list.
it was a really compelling message.
All right, let's hear it. We'll get to Spencer.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris, in passing me on the all-time NBA scoring list. Oh, man, you're gonna. You just had a great career. I love it. And, I picked you guys this year to be in the finals from the East. So congratulations before you get to the finals. But you got the championship and championships in your sight, as well as the Hall of Fame jacket. Yeah.
Wait, no, he did not just say that.
Did Spencer Haywood just say that Tobias Harris is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, I don't know.
Has this guy ever seen Tobias Harris play in his life? Honestly,
No. It's funny because like in the video, if you watch it, he like at the end there, he says something about the Hall of Fame, and he has his own jacket.
Okay,
like, he's showing his jacket.
Okay,
I don't know if he's saying like, oh, Tobias has one of these in his future, or what?
I really hope not, because that would be evidence that Spencer Haywood has never actually seen Tobias Harris play. If he believes him to be a Hall of Famer,
Dude, for passing at 165, he creates this video. It's very nice of him. But, like, who asked him to do that?
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Like, yeah.
Now, this might be an unfair accusation here. But Tobias's dad is kind of he's Tobias's agent. So
right. He's
a relatively high-level agent. You probably know some people. Do you think Tobias's dad asked Spencer Haywood to record this video and release it to make it seem like this is a big deal?
Yeah, it seems like something he would do, because he's made weird comments in the past about Tobias being the silent assassin, right?
They're definitely using this video as part of the pitch to get him a contract this offseason. Hey,
oh, yeah.
You're getting the 165th highest scorer ever in NBA history.
And if this guy's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
And Tobias should be a Hall of Famer. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, and Tobias is going to be a Hall of Famer as well. Yeah. Just listen to Spencer Haywood.
Well, the NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame is weird. Like, they'll let people in based on their college careers.
Yeah. So it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Maybe Spencer Haywood had, like, a big college career. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Spencer Haywood, I'm looking at his I'm not that familiar with him. I actually the only stuff I really know as much about Spencer Haywood is that show Winning Time on the Lakers. He was featured in that. And he was on, like, the Lakers championship team when they beat the Sixers, I believe, back in 80. So,
well, it says he's a pretty prolific scorer here. I don't know if you're looking at his numbers. Yeah. At least in like his first year, his rookie year, he like led the league in scoring. Well, won MVP. Well, it's kind of wild.
Wow, yeah. Good for him. I don't like him, though. I don't like him.
Because of those comments?
For that, yeah. For those were egregious comments. Those were disturbing comments.
Well, at least you're not as bad as our former producer here, Nick Earnshaw. Mm. He wore a Tobias Harris jersey to a game while he constantly hates on him.
He's beyond,
interesting.
He's beyond saving Nick Earnshaw. I saw him at the game a couple weeks ago, and he's got the same bad opinions he always
has. Oh, yeah, he's always had this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But it was good seeing him. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Joe in Malvern. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? I want to change the subject a little bit. Nice show, by the way, Mr. Kelly.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm just wondering why everybody's up in arms about the Eagles drafting a defensive lineman and how they're all bummed out that we let number 7 go. When I'm looking at the defense that Mr. Vic Fangio plays, and it's a 3-4, so we don't need as many defensive linemen as we used to be on the roster and ready at game day, because there's only 3 playing there, unless he's going to do some kind of hybrid line. But I don't think he does that much. So what is everybody all up in arms about as far as the linemen go?
Well, Joe, what are you saying? You do want them to draft a D lineman, or you don't?
No, man. We don't need as many as we used to. Go get an offensive lineman to start out with, or a D-back that's really good.
Well, I don't care. I'd be okay with either of those, Joe, but also, I wouldn't mind drafting another pass rusher. I'm not as confident that Bryce Huff's going to come in here and just replace what Hassan Reddick did. I don't feel great about that. I mean, we haven't seen it from Bryce Huff.
I understand what you're saying, Tom, but the fact is that we're playing a 3-4 now, so we don't need all those guys.
Yeah, but you still need guys who can get after the passer, Joe. And I think part of the problem last year is those guys played too many snaps. Like Josh Sweat, I mean, he was gassed at the end of the year. You need depth at those spots.
Now we're not going to need that as much because you got 3 guys playing. So instead of replacing 4 guys a swipe, you're only going to be playing 3 guys a swipe.
Yeah, no, Joe, I hear you, man. I appreciate the call. Now, the one thing that's driving me nuts about the draft is, I mean, talk about them taking a skill position player, whether receiver, the tight end, Bowers, I know people wanted. That's ridiculous. Like, you don't need those guys. You're either going offensive line or you're going defense. Like, one of those spots. And I'd be fine with that. But the idea of drafting a receiver, drafting tight ends, just silly. Like, you have two great receivers, you have a great tight end, you have a great running back, you're good at the skill positions, you got to either draft offensive line or draft defense. And I'm fine whether it's in the on the line, in the secondary, linebacker, even though, hey, we all know they're not going to draft a linebacker in the first round, but I think it's got to be O-line or it's got to be defense moving forward. But that'll be it for me tonight. I will be back on tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm filling in for Joe Giglio tomorrow, so that'll be fun, alongside Hugh on the midday show. So I will talk to you guys then. Obviously, we'll have a lot of draft talk. I'll continue talking about the Sixers' big game on Wednesday night as well, and the Phil. So a lot to get into tomorrow with Hugh. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Sean Bell, Ashlyn Sullivan, they are with you for the next few hours on this Sunday night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you to Francisco Rojas for producing. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
And I think a really scary opponent in Miami. Would love to get your takes. But, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute here. But what's frustrating about this situation is that the Sixers did all they could to get out of the play. They win 8 straight games at the end of the year, and it didn't matter. And you know why it didn't matter? Because that loser, Doc Rivers, couldn't go down to Orlando and win a game today. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. That Orlando team is just done. Like, you look at, we saw that game on Friday night. They're a nice story, a young team that played well early in the year, but they're fading. Like, they're coming back to reality here. I mean, them and Cleveland in the first round is just it sucks that one of those teams is going to advance. And like the Heat and Sixers. Are one of them's going to play the Celtics, and you know the other one's going to play the Knicks. Those might be the four best teams in the East right now, and they're going up against each other in the first round. But the Bucks go down to Orlando and they get smashed today. And I can't stand Doc Rivers. And can't win that game. An important game for the Bucks. Bucks could add the 2 seed. That's another part of this, though, is that coward Doc Rivers. Because I think they're ducking the Sixers. I think that was a big part of it. I don't think they wanted to play the Sixers, Francisco. I think they wanted the 3 seed because Doc's terrified of coming back here and getting his ass cooked by Joel Embiid.
I wouldn't say that.
You would?
That he's ducking? He's ducking us?
Yes, I think him and Giannis and Lillard. Yeah, they're all cowards.
I don't think they are. I mean, like I agree with you. Like, Doc's annoying. I didn't love him towards the end, but like, not ducking us.
Well, no, he's not annoying. Let's call it what it is. Doc's a slime ball, all right? Like the Doc Rivers, what he did to get that job in Milwaukee was a disgrace. Now, to take you through the timeline, he's hired as a consultant, and what, 3 weeks later, they fire the head coach and make Doc Rivers the head coach. Yeah. Something that Doc was completely unaware of. Here was Doc at that point when they fire Adrian Griffin and make him the head coach.
Personally, I'll be honest, I told our owners when they called, I said, I think you... I don't understand why you're doing this, you know. And they said, you know, one of the things they said was, well, it doesn't matter. We've done it now. And we want you. And so that was a tough one. That's where you had the hesitation.
Like, how can he say that with a straight face? They hired you as a consultant, and you act like you weren't, you know, lobbying for that job from the minute they hired you? Yeah, do you believe that, Francisco? That Bucks ownership went to Doc and said, hey, we want to fire our head coach and make you the head coach. And he really said, how could you do this?
Yeah,
why are you doing
fraudulent.
This?
Yeah, it's very fraudulent.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
Like, he's fraudulent. A bald-faced liar. And then, you know, you look at this mistake that the Bucks have made. He gets the job, snakes the job away. He's been terrible. Like, they've had a below 500 record since he took over the team. An awful mistake. And then the Sixers need him to win one game. Can't do it. Now the Sixers need to beat the Heat. And this is a take that I was thinking about before the show. But I've gotten to the point where I dislike Doc Rivers more than I dislike Ben Simmons. And I never thought I could get there. But I really do just dislike Doc so much. And it was so frustrating because you knew they were going to lose that game today. You knew that there was no way he was going to come through in that spot and help the Sixers. And then, you know, you had the whole stuff with Doc last week. Here was Doc, as his team is playing poorly, and it's never his fault, mind you. Here was Doc giving the reason why he thinks the Bucks don't play with the kind of professionalism they should.
You know, it's funny. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes. I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. And that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
Do you feel like that just gets cleaned up in the playoffs? Like, have you seen that in the past? That
yeah, I'm not concerned.
Playoffs, just...
Yeah, yeah. The playoffs are a new beast, but I'm looking at it for the long run, too. I mean, it's not just for now. Like, we got to be a better road team.
So, the travel staff's fault that the Bucks aren't playing with the right professionalism, not Doc Rivers. I can't stand him, and it upsets me now that the Sixers won't get the chance to play him in the first round. Because if you win that game and you're the 7 seed and the Bucks are the 2, oh, that would have been incredible to see that series in the first round. Won't get it now. And just, you know, very, very disappointing. And I think the Bucks were ducking the Sixers. I think Doc's terrified. I think Giannis is terrified. They have, the Sixers are a bad matchup for them. I truly believe that. And very upsetting to me that the Sixers won't get a chance to play the Bucks in the first round. If they do win, it'll be the Knicks. If they lose, they'll have to face the winner of this Bulls-Hawks game. And then, presumably, if they win that one, play the Boston Celtics. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Mike in Bridgeport. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, Tom? Great show.
Thanks, man. What's happening?
Hey, I can't wait for Wednesday night. I really can't. It's a cliche, I know, but I do believe that if we want to truly move past all the past, you know, meltdowns, and you have to beat and go through the best. And that's exactly what our path is going to be this year, you know, to beat Miami and secure that 7th spot. And then hopefully take care of business against the Knicks. And as you mentioned, they're one of the top 4 teams in the East, hands down. Go through them
and then hopefully get the Celtics. You know, there are no easy paths. I mean, I remember going back to 2021, right, where everyone thought, oh, things are shaping up so well. We've got the Hawks in round two, and look what happened. You know,
like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's
a serious path, right?
That's true, Mike. And that was the year when everything was you know, seemingly lining up perfectly for the Sixers, and then you had kind of the Ben Simmons meltdown in the Hawks series. But yeah, man, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like that's going to be the kind of run it's going to need to be. But do you agree that it's of critical importance they win on Wednesday? Because I'd much rather not see Boston in the first round, and maybe then can avoid them. If you see Boston in the first round, it would just be so disappointing to have Embiid come all the way back just to end up playing Boston now.
Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, I would even put it below your number. I think if they matched up with Boston in round one, I would give them less than 10% of a chance to win. It's just they are a really, really good team. I mean, 64 wins. And I'm probably somewhere in between some of your previous callers, but they seem very confident, kind of overconfident going into Wednesday. And it sounds like you're a little nervous. I'm somewhere in between. I mean, I don't want to mess with Jimmy Butler, but that's what we've got to do to get there. So bring it on. I mean, they're not the same team they were when they went to the NBA Finals last year. So I'm holding out hope there. And we've got some tough dudes this time around. Kelly Oubre, Lowry. So I'm feeling better.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Mike, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
For checking in. And, you know, and again, I do think, like, not to boil it down to one thing or one player, even though in the NBA, in many instances, it does come down to that. It comes down to the stars. So much of this is on Joel on Wednesday night. And it's like, here we are again. Like, another huge, huge opportunity for Joel Embiid. And you talk about the supporting cast, and I get it. Like, they're going to need other guys to step up. We're going to see now if Tyrese Maxey is capable of being legit number two on a championship contender. Yes, they're going to need guys like Oubre to step up and make shots. You know, they're going to need Kyle Lowry to make shots. I don't even want to say his name. But yes, they are going to need Tobias Harris to contribute something. I don't know what.
But that took a lot of you.
Yeah, I don't even.
I'm proud of you.
I'm just the only good thing about this season maybe being over soon is we won't have to see him anymore. But you know,
let's see that contract.
Or him. I'm tired of Tobias.
Look, he's not that bad of a basketball player.
He is not a good basketball player.
He's a solid scorer.
He is a very average basketball player. You can find
him. He's an inconsistent player who could be very good.
And they have a guy right now playing on a minimum contract in Kelly Oubre, who's indisputably better than he is.
I don't think he's indisputably better.
Who would you rather have right now, Kelly Oubre or Tobias Harris?
That's a tough question.
It's not a tough question.
Put me on the spot there.
You know the answer to that. It's Kelly Oubre.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It depends on the day.
You would rather have just say you'd rather have Tobias then. You got to pick one.
If I had to, fine, Tobias. I'll stick to right here.
All right, that's a bad opinion. But it, so much of it is going to come down to Joel. And man, I really believe that despite all this, it's going to come down to on Wednesday night who plays better, Jimmy or Joel. I really feel like that's the way this thing's going to go, is who's going to step up in those big moments, who's going to make the big plays, who's going to make the big shots. And man, what an unbelievable opportunity for Joel against that team, against that opponent, to get it done. It's going to be incredible to watch. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly with you for one more segment here. Sean Bell, Ashlyn Sullivan coming up at 7 o'clock. A few things to touch on when we get back. Right here, I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you for one more segment here, taking you up until 7 o'clock. Just catching the end of the Masters here. It's over. Scottie Scheffler's going to win. This guy's just ridiculous. Like, and over the last couple days, you know, watching the Masters, you want to have a little bit of a rooting interest. I decided to put, like, little bets down on Morikawa and Max Homa and a bunch of different guys. I guess betting the field against Scottie Scheffler doesn't really work out very well. And it's, like, ridiculous. You look at the odds. the odds aren't that one guy is going to just dominate everybody. But that's what Scottie Scheffler's doing. He's got a four-shot lead right now going in the 18th hole. So, yeah, betting against Scottie Scheffler, probably not a good idea the last couple days.
Yeah, my Masters bet's not going. I have nothing to add.
No, I didn't expect you to add anything. I know you're not a golf guy.
My best friend just got recently in the golf, so maybe one day I will.
Okay. Well, Scottie Scheffler's a beast. That's really all you need to know right now. Probably the best player since Tiger Woods. I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Rory?
Rory's overrated.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, not even casual question.
Nah, Rory is overrated because, you know, I don't know for what reason. And right. I don't really find him very likable either, Rory McIlroy. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. No John Rahm, no who
yeah, Rahm's good. I mean, all these guys are good. They're just nowhere near as good as Scheffler.
How many majors has Scheffler won?
I don't know how many he's won, but it feels like he's the favorite to win every one. Like, there's not been a guy since Tiger that I feel like going into every major, he's the overwhelming favorite going into every one.
Ah, okay.
Scheffler
I got you.
Is. So, dominant right now. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And we'll get back to the phones in a second. But, of course, we're talking Sixers in the last segment, and Tobias Harris's name gets brought up. Even though I try to ignore him at this point because I can't he infuriates me to no end. You said he reached a milestone today, Francisco. Is that right?
Yeah, he did.
What did he do?
So he passed the Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood on the NBA all time scoring list at 165.
And that's a thing.
It is, and he has a congratulatory message here too.
Spencer Haywood released a congratulatory message to Tobias for reaching 165th on the all-time.
And it was
list.
it was a really compelling message.
All right, let's hear it. We'll get to Spencer.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris, in passing me on the all-time NBA scoring list. Oh, man, you're gonna. You just had a great career. I love it. And, you know, I picked you guys this year to be in the finals from the East. So congratulations before you get to the finals. But you got the championship and championships in your sight, as well as the Hall of Fame jacket. Yeah.
Wait, no, he did not just say that. Did Spencer Haywood just say that Tobias Harris is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, I don't
know. Has this guy ever seen Tobias Harris play in his life, honestly?
No, it's funny because, in the video, if you watch it, he, at the end there, he says something about the Hall of Fame, and he has his own jacket.
Okay.
He's showing his jacket.
Okay.
I don't know if he's saying, oh, Tobias has one of these in his future or what.
I really hope not, because that would be evidence that Spencer Haywood has never actually seen Tobias Harris play. If he believes him to be a Hall of Famer.
Dude, for passing at 165, he creates this video. It's very nice of him. But, who asked him to do that?
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Now,
this might be an unfair accusation here. But Tobias's dad is kind of he's Tobias's agent. So he's a relatively high-level agent. You probably know some people. Do you think Tobias's dad asked Spencer Haywood to record this video and release it? To make it seem like this is a big deal?
Yeah, it seems like something he would do. Because he's made weird comments in the past about Tobias being the silent assassin, right?
They're definitely using this video as part of the pitch to get him a contract this offseason. Hey, you're getting the 165th highest scorer ever in NBA history.
And if this guy's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
And Tobias should be a Hall of Famer. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, and Tobias is going to be a Hall of Famer as well. Yeah. Just listen to Spencer Haywood.
Well, the NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame is weird. They'll let people in based on their college careers.
Yeah.
So
it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Maybe Spencer Haywood had a big college career. I don't know.
Well, Spencer Haywood, I'm looking at his. I'm not that familiar with him. I actually the only stuff I really know as much about Spencer Haywood is that show Winning Time on the Lakers. He was featured in that, and he was on the Lakers championship team when they beat the Sixers, I believe, back in 80. So,
well, it says he's a pretty prolific scorer here. I don't know if you're looking at his numbers. Yeah. At least in his first year, his rookie year, he led the league in scoring. He won MVP. Well, it's kind of wild.
Wow, yeah. Good for him. I don't like him, though. I don't like them
for those comments.
For that, yeah, for those were egregious comments. Those were disturbing comments.
Well, at least you're not as bad as our former producer here, Nick Earnshaw. Mm. He wore a Tobias Harris jersey to a game while he constantly hates on him.
He's interesting. Beyond saving Nick Earnshaw. I saw him at the game a couple weeks ago, and he's got the same bad opinions he always.
Oh, yeah, he's always had this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But it was good seeing him. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Joe in Malvern. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? I want to change the subject a little bit. Nice show, by the way, Mr. Kelly.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm just wondering why everybody's up in arms about the Eagles drafting a defensive lineman and how they're all bummed out that we let number 7 go. When I'm looking at the defense that Mr. Vic Fangio plays, and it's a 3-4, so we don't need as many defensive linemen as we used to be on the roster and ready at game day, because there's only 3 playing there, unless he's going to do some kind of hybrid line, but I don't think he does that much. So what is everybody all up in arms about as far as the linemen go?
Well, Joe, what are you saying? Do you want them to draft a D lineman, or you don't?
No, man. We don't need as many as we used to. Go get an offensive lineman to start out with, or a D back that's really good.
Well, I don't care. I'd be okay with either of those, Joe. But also, I wouldn't mind drafting another pass rusher. I'm not as confident that Bryce Huff's going to come in here and just replace what Hassan Reddick did. I don't feel great about that. I mean, we haven't seen it from Bryce Huff.
I understand what you're saying, Tom. But the fact is that we're playing a 3-4 now, so we don't need all those guys.
Yeah, but you still need guys who can get after the passer, Joe. And I think part of the problem last year is those guys played too many snaps. Like Josh Sweat, I mean, he was gassed at the end of the year. You need depth at those spots.
Now we're not going to need that as much because you got 3 guys playing. So instead of replacing 4 guys a swipe, you're only going to be playing 3 guys a swipe.
Yeah, no, Joe, I hear you, man. I appreciate the call. Now, the one thing that's driving me nuts about the draft is, I mean, talk about them taking a skill position player, whether receiver, the tight end, Bowers, I know people wanted. That's ridiculous. Like, you don't need those guys. You're either going offensive line or you're going defense. Like, one of those spots. And I'd be fine with that. But the idea of drafting a receiver, drafting tight ends, just silly. Like, you have 2 great receivers, you have a great tight end, you have a great running back, you're good at the skill positions, you got to either draft offensive line or draft defense. And I'm fine whether it's in the on the line, in the secondary, linebacker, even though, hey, we all know they're not going to draft a linebacker in the first round, but I think it's got to be O-line or it's got to be defense moving forward. But that'll be it for me tonight. I will be back on tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm filling in for Joe Giglio tomorrow, so that'll be fun, alongside Hugh on the midday show. So I will talk to you guys then. Obviously, we'll have a lot of draft talk. I'll continue talking about the Sixers' big game on Wednesday night as well, and the Phils. So a lot to get into tomorrow with Hugh. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Sean Bell, Ashlyn Sullivan. They are with you for the next few hours on this Sunday night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you to Francisco Rojas for producing. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.